for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, April the 1st, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on how to pray effectively.
Well, praise God. Let's stand and fill the Lord in prayer. You know, the Lord's not through. Then He's not through. And you stayed. I'm not saying the others, whatever reason. People have to do, you know, they have different situations. But you remember, even when Moses left the tabernacle, what Joshua did? He stayed. And who replaces Moses? Joshua. There's something in that, folks. That those that wait upon the Lord, praise God. I'm not throwing stones at anyone that can't stay. I realize that. Praise God. But you stayed, and I believe God will bless you. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this group this morning that's gathered unto you. Because that's the only reason we're here, Lord, is for you. You are everything. And we're complete in you, Lord. Not in any minister, program, ministry, jobs, marriage, ourselves, whatever, Lord, we're complete in you. Not our education, none of those things. Praise God. Not even in this nation, Lord. Our completeness does not come from being an American citizen or just being in America. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. We ask you to speak to us this morning. Praise God. From the throne. You, Lord, talking to us. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. If you want to remain, say, we'll sing a chorus and then we'll get right into the Word. Praise God. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah. Thou art worthy, mighty God. Thou art worthy, Abba Father. Thou art worthy, sweet Lamb of God. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah. Thou art worthy, mighty God. Thou art worthy, Abba Father. Thou art worthy, sweet Lamb of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait
not be ashamed. Let not thine enemies triumph over me. Oh, remember not the sins of my youth.
That all the time almost. Oh, praise God. Just go around, Lord. God, just crying out to God. God, help me. God, help me. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our strength comes from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who made the heavens and the earth. Praise God. Our strength comes from Him. Thank you, Jesus. He is our source. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We are complete in Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hey, would you bring me my water? I forgot the water. Water is good. I want to talk to you this morning about how to pray effectively. How to pray effectively. Been a lot about prayer during this camp. Thank God for all of it. James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Amen? Avails much. If we pray. And we all want to pray prayers that are effective. Prayers that prevail with God. Prayers that bring changes in people and in circumstances. Is that right? Is that what we want to pray? And this is what we want to look at here this morning. Not just how to pray, but how to pray prayers that prevail with God. What is the secret? Praise God. The disciples of Jesus wanted to be able to pray prayers that worked. Prayers that were effective. Prayers that accomplished things in all realms of their life. So we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, that's a good request right there. Have you ever asked the Lord to teach you how to pray? Or do we just spout off whatever, you know? Or do we teach him? We'll read this later, but Romans 26:27 tells us that we don't know how to pray as we ought. I used to think that meant sometimes I don't know how to pray. But what does it say? It says we don't know how to pray as we ought. We just don't have enough information. And even if we have information, we're going to filter it, you know, through what our opinions and what we think we want. We don't know how to pray as we ought. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. If Jesus did anything, he prayed. But usually he prayed either all night or he rose early in the morning to commune with his Heavenly Father. And most of his praying was in private. The disciples were rarely given the privilege to hear what Christ was saying to his Father in heaven. Because he practiced what he had taught them. When you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Matthew 6:6. He will reward you openly. I've been places, used to go to a convention in a certain city, and they had prayer meeting every morning at 5. It's a huge church building. And you'd go there and there's always these that are just praying so loud.
Yep.
I mean just making their announcements or whatever you want to call it. So loud you couldn't even concentrate. You couldn't even think to pray, you know, because they are overriding everyone with, oh, you know, and all this stuff, and praise God, whatever. It is amazing how that people are doing exactly what the Scripture tells us not to do, and they do it in the house of God. It's amazing. And you think, don't you read your Bible? Well, probably they don't, you know, but anyway. So, sometimes a private prayer closet of secret prayers to cry out to God in our hearts. In our hearts. And I thank God that you don't have to go to church to pray, but it is the house of prayer. But make the house of prayer everywhere you are, especially inside, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? There ought to be a lot of praying going on in here, communing with God constantly. I believe this. If the only time we can touch God is when we're in an atmosphere with the music and on the worship and you got to have people on, and that's the only time we can touch God, there's something desperately wrong in us. Because if you can't touch God when you're alone, something is missing in your relationship with Him. You remember Saul, King Saul was chasing David to kill him. But when he got to the house of God, he fell down prophesying all day. And people said, oh, is he among the prophets? But when the atmosphere lifted, see, he just got in the atmosphere. When the atmosphere, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They just got to get in the atmosphere or nothing happens. And thank God that it does when we come together. He's in our midst, two or three gathered in His name. But when Saul got up from there, he went right on chasing David to kill him. So there has to be the ability in us to commune with God, to be in His presence when we're by ourselves. Praise God. What if you were locked up in prison like Richard Warmbrand for 14 years or others that spent a good part of their life and he spent 3 years in solitary confinement there in Romania and never seeing the daylight. You have to be able to find God when you're alone. Now, there are some prayers that Christ did pray that His disciples could hear. In fact, Hebrews 5:7 says, who in the days of His flesh, speaking of Christ, while He's on this earth, when He had offered up prayers and supplications are earnest entreaty or appeal. Now listen to this, with strong cryings and tears, praise God, strong cryings and tears to Him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he, Christ, feared, meaning he showed reverence. He showed reverence. Be careful how you address God. Be careful how you address God. Jesus showed great reverence toward His Heavenly Father. And He taught us to do the same when He instructed us to approach God with these words, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name. Holy is your name. Praise God. If some want to call Him Daddy, that's their business. But I believe we need to be very respectful. He is the Father. He's the Heavenly Father. Jesus humbled Himself before His Heavenly Father in every way and in every circumstance. And that has to be the story of our life. Now this principle that Jesus lived by, of being humble before His Father, reverence His Father, was often evidenced by the statements He made to His Father, such as, not my will, but your will be done. Do you wonder why your prayers are not being answered? You may think it's a lack of faith, and that's what is mostly taught. Well, you just don't have enough faith. You need to have more faith. But consider this scripture in Isaiah 66:2. But to this one will I look. This is the one I'm going to hear. This is the one I'm going to pay attention to. To him who is humble and contrite or submissive of spirit, and who trembles at or greatly fears my word. That's who God's looking to. Have all the faith in the world. But if we don't humble ourselves before Him, He doesn't even hear us. He doesn't even pay attention to us. Sometimes our Heavenly Father will not hear us until we humble ourselves enough to do some strong crying with tears. We've had Christian school for many years. Had a student one time, and he stood up and told me, real men don't cry. Oh, you foolish little boy, you. But I told him, you will cry. There'll come a day you'll cry. Praise God. My youngest son was in desperate need of a job, about to lose everything. He'd been doing cutting firewood in the winter and hay in the summer until it turned off too mild and it rained too much and all these problems for 2 years in a row. And I kept telling him, Seth, cry out to God. Cry out to God. I knew he wasn't. Well, how do you know? Because it wasn't happening. Nothing was changing. All he did was complain and feel sorry for himself. Finally, he called me one day and told me that a man had come to his door that he didn't have to go, seeking a job. The man came to his door and asked, do you want a job? He knew that was from God. And you know what he told me? He said, Dad, I prayed last night like I never prayed before in my life. And God heard him. It works, folks. Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. Earnestly, praise God. these prayers where we, okay, God, I want this or that, and we command God or all this kind of thing. And then if it doesn't work in 10 minutes, well, we're on our way, we'll go do something else, you know. Well, God's not here now. No, praise God, earnestly, earnestly. And by the way, he's still on that job and promoted up in the job. Praise God. God gives you something, it's going to work. But when he tells you that that season's over, be careful. Don't try to make it keep going. Often God changes things for us, and we get very disturbed because we can't see what the next step is. But God has a way of not showing you what the next step is. You know what I'm saying? Until later on. If there's anything that God's going to require of us, is that we walk by faith. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God will make sure that our faith is tested, that it's tried, and it's for the good of our faith, to build our faith. Now, Abraham waxed strong in faith. The longer that thing went, the older he got. You know, God never gave him a son till he couldn't have a son, and his wife was too old to have a child. Never gave them that child until then. Remember that. You know, we draw lines. And we think, in our minds, we draw lines. And if this situation goes past the line, it's over with. Don't do that. God can go beyond our line. He can go past our lines, praise God. He does that. We'll see that with Lazarus here shortly. Now, remember the two men praying in the temple, and one how he bragged on what he was and told God, you know, God, I thank you, you know, telling God what he was. You know, God knows what we really are. But the other man the sinner wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did the Lord say? Which one went down to his house being heard by God? It was the one that humbled himself before God. Do we want God to hear us when we pray? Christ was heard because he cried out to his heavenly Father with tears. He humbled himself, and because he feared God's word. Can you get a picture of this? The Son of God cried, strong crying with tears to his heavenly Father. Now, wouldn't you think that because he's the Son of God, God would just do it? Why does he have to go through this? Remember the parable where the man came at the midnight hour? A friend came and he said, look, I've had some people come. I need some bread. He said, don't bother me. We're in bed. But he wouldn't stop. He was persistent. And the Lord said, not because he was his friend, but because he was persistent, he got up and gave him what he wanted. I'm a child of God. I deserve this. I should get this. Really? We'll see what God says about that. He said, it doesn't work on that. And no matter how far we move along in God, God is always bringing us to a point of humbling ourselves if we want to go a little further. Praise God. You know, perhaps the biggest problem that people have is pride. Right? We have a ministry there, and I can tell you that almost everyone that's ever come through that ministry, it doesn't turn out good. You know why? Because they're so full of themselves and so full of pride, and they refuse to be broken, refuse to humble themselves before God. Not before us, but before God. And I'm telling you, if we won't humble ourselves before God, we're not going anywhere with God. It's the broken and contrite that he looks to. Now, it's not that Christ's prayers were eloquent, but rather the disciples knew that God heard his prayers and desired that God would hear their prayers. And then isn't that why we pray? They ask, well, some people pray to murmur and complain, you know. They ask him to teach them to pray. So we're going to look at an example, one of the few examples of Christ praying publicly. Lazarus. Lazarus' sisters had sent word for him to come and heal their brother who was sick. But you know how the Lord purposely waited 4 days until Lazarus was dead. Has the Lord ever put you off till the situation is dead? John 11:34, and Jesus said, where have you laid him, Lazarus? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. He's arrived there now, and the disciples. The Lord wants us to show him exactly what or where our need is. Lord, he said, where'd you put him? Come and see. Often Jesus would ask a person what they desired. And when it was obvious what they needed, you know, it was obvious. For instance, a lame man. Why are you asking a lame man at the pool of Bethesda what you need? Isn't it obvious, you know? But the Lord made him verbalize what his need was. The blind man. What do you need? Well, Lord, I want my sight. Jesus, can't you see? He wants us. Can't you understand? But we have to verbalize what our need is. You know what that is? It's another way of humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves, praise God. If you hear anything this morning, hear that. Humbling ourselves. The scriptural principle is this in Philippians 4, 1 James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. And in Philippians 4:6, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 35, Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. Why did Jesus weep over Lazarus' death? It was because we have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our troubles. Hebrews 4:15. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Oh, praise God, touches me. Behold, they could see how Jesus loved Lazarus. And it's wonderful to be loved by Jesus, to know that he loves us enough to weep over our adversities, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, touched. John 14:21 says, he that has my commandments. Now, they knew that Jesus loved this man. Why did he love this man? He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let me tell you this morning that singing, oh, how I love Jesus, is not enough. We have to show that we love him. How? By having and keeping his commandments. And I want to tell you straightly, if you don't open the book and read the commandments, then how can you have and keep the commandments? Jesus is saying he will manifest or reveal his presence and his person in the hearts of those that love him. Those that love him. Jesus will hear and answer our prayers if we keep his commandments. Or in other words, if we do his will in our own will. Let me say this to you. We talked about humbling ourselves. But if we won't keep his commandments, humbling ourselves won't work either. And if we don't keep his commandments, faith won't work either. It's amazing. As much time was spent in books written on the subject of keeping his commandments as their own, as they're written and preached about having faith. You see. But faith has to be demonstrated. Praise God. We're sure of this concerning Lazarus, that he had proven that he loved Christ by obeying him. Jesus loves those who love him and who prove it by their obedience to him. Isaiah 53:2 says, it tells us that Christ had, we're talking about why did Lazarus love Jesus. But it says Christ had no stately form or majesty that we should turn to look upon him, nor beauty that we should be attracted to him. Therefore we know the love Lazarus had for Christ was not out of a human fleshly attraction. Some attempt to make to attract people to Christ by making him more attractive. Because he's not physically attractive. He's not intellectually attractive. Or so on. They do this by trying to make people feel sorry for him on account of his suffering for them. We were in the jail ministry for quite a while. And sometimes there was a group there, another denomination. And every time they spoke, they'd tell, oh, how he suffered. The crowns on his head and the blood and the stripes on his back, and they nailed him to the cross. And don't you feel sorry for Jesus? You ought to give your heart to Jesus. Don't you feel sorry for him? Don't do that because you feel sorry for him. But they were trying to attract people to Christ by making them feel sorry for him. You know what ambulance chasers are? Usually they're insurance people or lawyers. But I'm going to tell you they're pastors that are ambulance chasers, so to speak. I know how this works. Somebody's in the hospital, they go visit them, pray for them, for the purpose of obligating those people to come to their church when they get out. I know how that works. I've seen it. I refuse to do that. I'm not going to go pray for anybody unless God tells me to go pray for them. Well, you pastor, you're supposed to, really? Obligating people. I've seen pastors fight over who gets to preach a funeral. They get up there and hear, you know, and be seen and be heard and there's a lot of things going in the name of the Lord that's not about the Lord. Lazarus loved Christ because Christ first loved him. He wasn't attracted to Christ. He wasn't attracted to Christ because people made him out to be a Santa Claus. or a genie in the lamp, giving us our every wish. Actually, Christ made very strong and costly demands on those who follow after Him. Do you know that? And therefore, fearing such demands would turn some off and even offend them. Many attempt to tone it down or hide those demands in order to attract people to Christ. And from that you have things like hyper grace, you know, that what is this grace they're teaching and preaching now? Basic, and it uses a definition, the unmerited favor of God. I want to tell you, that's a damnable doctrine out of hell. There is no such thing. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was a righteous man. A righteous man. If it was unmerited favor, God could not have destroyed anybody. But he selectively chose a man that found grace in his eyes, or found favor in his eyes, because he was a righteous man. Besides, the true definition of grace is the power of God. The power of God. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. For by grace, by the power of God, are you saved through faith, not unmerited favor. I have watched this unmerited favor. It started back there somewhere. I could tell you who with, but I'm not going to. And it's just creeped into every denomination now. Even Pentecostal people are parroting this thing. Stop and look. Look at what it's saying. Don't just repeat what you hear. Oh, so-and-so said something. You know, it sounds so good. Well, this unmerited favor does sound good. It comforts the soul. Praise God. That's enough. Now, the other issue is that Lazarus loved Christ because Christ first loved him. And because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. We can never truly love God without the love of the Holy Spirit being shed abroad in our hearts. Listen, we can't even worship God of ourselves. We can't pray of ourselves. We can't serve God of ourselves. It's got to be God in us. God in us working these things. For it's God that works in you to will and do of His good pleasure. Praise God. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now there's an issue here. Jesus, you didn't come when we called you, and now He's dead. And they have a problem with that. Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, had a problem with it. And Jesus was being openly criticized, I mean verbally, openly criticized for not coming sooner. But at least they did realize that Christ had the power to heal him. But you know, as you read on in this story, you read on, they did not have faith that Jesus could raise him from the dead. They had drawn that line. Death was their line. And if he dies, it's over with. And Jesus had tried to tell them, if you believe, didn't I say, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Has your situation died? Let me tell you this morning, if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. What would be the greater testimony? That he came and healed him, or that he came and raised him from the dead? Which would build their faith the most? That he came and healed him of his sniffles, or that he came and raised him from the dead? God's going to bring us to these points. He'll bring us along slowly as we're able to bear it. He'll bring us, and John 16 said, I have a lot of things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. And thank God he does not call us into account for things we can't bear yet. He's really good at this, folks. Trust him with yourself. Trust him with what he's doing in your life. He knows what he's doing. But we sure try to tell him his business, don't we? Well, they did not fully understand the purpose of God in delaying. They did not understand Jesus was not led by needs. Now you got to hear this. He was not led by needs, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. We've got to get away from being led by need. We must not pray because we see a need, but because the Holy Spirit leads us to pray about a circumstance. Reese Howe, a man asked him, would you pray about some relative of his? And he said, yes, I'll pray. Well, when he walked away and got away, the Lord said, what'd you do? He said, well, he asked me to pray. I told him I pray. He said, you don't pray because somebody asks you to. You pray because I tell you to pray about a situation, whatever it is. I know that's the opposite of what... I grew up in a church, they had prayer request time. Y'all ever know what... Y'all know what I'm... What are your prayer requests? And this thing had gone for 15 minutes. Well, and finally when people could... And they'd say, well, my great aunt stumped her toe. Would you pray? I don't remember her name, but I know she needs prayer. Oh, let's pray for that. And I had a pastor, and he just, he's up there sympathizing with them. He's a great man. He was a blessing to me. But he said, and then if you're the pastor and you're going to lead in prayer, you got to remember all these things. Oh my goodness, don't want to leave one out. You're going to offend someone. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, I guess. Or the testimony service. Or the penny march. Who's got a birthday? Who's got an anniversary? You know, come up, put enough pennies in there for you. All that stuff. Oh, God, get us away from that. That's one of the things I did when I became a pastor. The other thing I did was I took that board off the wall that told how many you had and how much the offer was. I mean, it didn't take long to figure out that they were up and down according to what was on that board. You know, attendance down, well, they were down. Attendance up, oh, hallelujah, let's praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Jesus' own brothers urged him to go to Jerusalem and meet the needs of sick folk by healing them there. Because they did not understand the principle of being led by the Holy Spirit. Instead, they were led by the will of man or by the needs of man. This is John chapter 7. Aren't we to be led by the Holy Spirit and not by what we see or hear or we think or by man's needs, including our own? Well, I have a need. I need to pray about it. Did God tell you to pray about it? Please hear what I'm saying and understand. Don't misunderstand this, okay? Are we going to be led by the Holy Spirit or not? Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, whatever you think, whatever people think, he was groaning. Some people think he was groaning because of their lack of understanding or their lack of faith. But what the Lord showed me is that Jesus was allowed the Holy Spirit to pray the will of the Father through him concerning this situation. Romans 8, 26, 27, it says, again, we don't know how to pray as we are, but the Holy Spirit will pray through us according to the will of God with groanings which cannot be uttered. We see the Holy Spirit operating through Jesus right here. And by the way, he was totally led by the Spirit. After he was baptized in the River Jordan, we read in Luke 3, the Holy Spirit came upon him, remained upon him. And then we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he was full of the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. Are we going to be led by the Spirit or not? Well, I went to a seminar and this is what they said do. Well, what are you going to be led by? I read a book. Great! What did the Holy Spirit say? You know, praise God. Everything I'm telling you, God's had to teach me, okay? I don't want you to think I'm a fountain of information or something. I mean, God taught me these things, and I hope He continues. I trust He'll continue to teach me. I hope the Lord will continue to show me what is the things we're doing that are just not even according to the will of God. But it's hard to change those things, folks. It's very difficult to change those. Well, this is the way my grandmother did it. Verse 39. I don't know why I said that, but somebody must apply to somewhere. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. The fact that Lazarus' body was now stinking proved that he was dead. Why? So some can't say, well, he was just acting like he's dead. And just as a Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus to prove he was fully dead. You know, that was how they knew. Well, he's dead, can't be. So they pierced his side and out came water and blood, the separation. And they knew he was dead. Because some people claim he just acted, you know, possum. And y'all know what that is, you're from Texas, you know. And so he just acting like he's dead. I'm not going to go there. It's interesting, but I'm not. Well, I will. I've got chickens. I had chickens a lot. And one night I heard the biggest commotion out there in the chicken pen. I went out there and there's a possum enjoying lunch, dinner, whatever. And I didn't have a gun, so I took a baseball bat or a stick. I don't remember. And I beat that thing. I sure he's dead. Went back in the house, took care of that. Wasn't long, I hear a commotion again. Praise God. One night I walked out. I was living another place then. I heard this. And so I went out there and I was with my flashlight. You don't need to hear that. So, praise God. The fact that Lazarus' body was now stinking proved he was dead. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Why are we seeing the glory of God? If we're not seeing the glory of God, which is the image or the works of God, it's because we do not really believe in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. They didn't believe in the power that he had. They thought they limited his power. Now, I'm not trying to preach faith this morning, though faith is absolutely necessary. But let me tell you, it's the faith of Christ, not our own faith. That's a whole different subject. I preached on that. The faith of Christ. And the life that, Galatians 2:20, the life that we live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. There is a faith in Christ, but there's His faith. And we have to come into His faith. And the more of Christ you have, the more of His faith you'll have, His love, His understanding, His power, everything. Our goal every day must be that Christ increases in us and we decrease. And that's what John the Baptist said. I must decrease, He must increase. In Acts 3:16, Peter declared that faith in the name of Jesus had made a lame man strong, the man that was lame at the gate from his birth. And that the faith which is by Jesus Christ gave that man perfect soundness. By faith. By Jesus Christ. Now, if you have some modern translations, it'll change those words. Because the people of Nazareth, you know, Christ's hometown, didn't believe in him, they effectively restrained the power of God that was in Christ to heal the sick in their city. I know as a pastor, if certain people come in to the assembly, to the church, they can actually hinder the work of God in that service. I know that's true. And that's why Jesus, when he went to heal Jairus' daughter, he had to put those people out. The unbelieving that mocked and laughed him to scorn, he had to put them out. Surround yourself with as much as possible people that believe. Or just keep quiet and go and believe in God. Or they'll rain on your parade. They'll tear down your faith. We don't tell everything God shows us. Praise God. Well, they need to know so that when it happens, they'll know what a prophet of God I am. Watch out. They'll destroy your faith. Jesus said, signs will follow those that believe, Mark chapter 16. However, not to meet the needs of people. You hear this part. Or to draw attention to themselves, but to confirm that they're preaching Christ. Not to meet the need. The proclamation of Christ is more important than the needs of men. Are men reaching their destiny? Are someone's ministry being verified? If you look at most churches, they're man-centered. It's all about man. Come here and get your needs met. They're not on the foundation of Christ. They're on the foundation of the needs of man. In fact, it's taught that a church needs to find the needs in a community and fill those needs. Why? Then they'll come to your church. Well, what are you after? A friend of mine was preaching at a church in Fort Worth. I might have told this. And he said there that this is their whole thing in that church. We've got to get people in this church. Well, what are you after? Numbers, or are you after Christ? What are we after? What's the foundation of any and every ministry? What's the foundation? It has to be Christ. It cannot be meeting the needs of man. God's Son, I'm probably getting ahead of myself here, but what? I'll wait. That's later on. The proclamation of Christ is more important. God's Son is His eternal purpose. It's not mankind or anything else. folks, we are a side issue. His eternal purpose is His Son. Everything centers on God's Son, not on mankind. When we make our ministry, our church, whatever, around man, we've missed it. It has to be around Christ. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. Here Christ is thanking the Father in advance of hearing Him, which revealed the standing that Christ had with His Heavenly Father. How do we rate when it comes to our standing with God? Could we make such a declaration? We'll do it after the fact if something good happens. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to say anything. What if it doesn't happen? Abraham's intercession for Lot was heard on account of Abraham's standing with God, not because of Lot's needs. Hear this. In Genesis 18:19, we hear the Lord saying, there in the plain of Mamre, that is Abraham's tent, we hear the Lord saying this very thing, for I know Him, speaking of Abraham, that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way or the will of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring on Abraham that which He's spoken of him. You want God to do in your life what He's promised to do? Joseph stayed true to God, or he'd have never become second to Pharaoh. Oh, how he was tested, and oh, how we'll be tested. Folks, we cannot imagine how he was tested in Potiphar's house. Not just with his Potiphar's wife, but the whole issue. God, he could have said, God, this is not what You said, and I'm mad, and I'm whatever. And then he's greatly tested. It said his legs were put in iron in his neck, and his feet were hurt with the iron that was around his feet. The humiliation, we can't imagine the humiliation that he suffered for something he did not do. I want to be used to God. Well, I'm never going to be used to God till we go through the fire. And the greater the fire, the more God can use us. But not if we get proud. But why did God answer? Why did He even tell Abraham what was going to happen? Because He had confidence in Abraham. Praise God. Abraham's standing with God. What is your standing with God? Would God tell you if your children are going the wrong direction, but they're hiding it from you? Would God tell you what's going to happen with your job? Now, we read that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Jesus said that. But who's He going to show that? Everybody can't claim that, folks. Only the ones, as He said in John 14, we're talking about John 14, 15, and 16 here, where He talks about the Holy Spirit, only those that love Him and prove it by keeping His commandments. That's who He tells what's coming. Praise God. Well, I didn't see that coming. Well, there's a reason you didn't see it coming. Now, let me qualify that, though. The man of God, you know, the lady had made him an evangelist quarters, a quarters for the man of God. And he said, find out what she needs, and shall I speak to the king for her? But it came out that she had no child. He told her, said, well, this time last year, next year you're going to have a child. Well, she had the child. The child had a sunstroke. And she lays him on his bed in his quarters and heads out for the man of God. And she's riding hard, and they see her coming. And the man of God says, God has hidden this from me. I don't know why she's coming. So I want to see, because what I've said, I don't want to be so dogmatic about it. There will be times that God will hide things from you. Remember, though, you're being tested. Remember that God is keeping us on a straight and narrow. Because it's possible that if we come to a place where we know everything, we just kind of phase God out of the picture. You understand what I'm saying? We phase Him out because we think we got this. Verse 42, and I know that you hear Me always, and because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that You have sent Me. Now, Jesus usually prayed in private, but to help the people have faith to believe that the Father had sent Him,
The Father has sent him. Notice the wording that he uses, that the Father has sent me. It's not that, you believe I'm this great man of God, but that someone sent me. Praise God. Here Jesus prayed publicly. He did this so that when Lazarus came forth from the dead, and he knew he was going to come forth from the dead, because he had confidence in his standing with his Father, then they could know that the Father always heard his prayers and always granted his requests. The reason the Father always heard Christ and always gave him what he asked for is because Christ always prayed according to the will of his Father. Here's the key. Pray, we're talking about how to pray effectively. Pray according to the will of the Father, or according to what the Father willed to be done on earth. We see this principle in 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What is your confidence in Him? Well, I've been doing really good. I've won all these people to God. I pray in tongues for an hour every day. I give a lot in the offering. Whatever. You know, there's a lady one time in my church told me, Brother Pinson, there's nobody in your church that prays as much as I pray, that lives for God more than I live for God. I thought, I wouldn't have said that. I just wouldn't have said that. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Well, we're talking about praying effectively, aren't we? Here's the reason that most of our prayers are not answered, because we have no confidence or faith that God heard us when we prayed. And how do we pray prayers that God will hear? God only hears those prayers that bring glory to His Son, that exalt and manifest His Son, or that prove that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, and prove that Christ was sent of the Father, and that prove that Christ did not come to do His own will, but the will of His Father in heaven. These are prayers that God will not hear, such as we see in James 4:3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss or wrongly, that you may consume it upon your lust. How many prayers are prayed that they're selfish prayers, self-centered, self-motivated prayers? God, I want you to give me a better job. I need to make more money. Did God tell you that? Or is that just something you decided? Most of the prayers have the motive of spending something on our lust. But Christ never prayed such a prayer. And when a man interrupted Christ while he was teaching and requested that he make his brother divide the inheritance with him, Jesus rebuked the man by saying this. He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a diviner or arbitrator over you?" Luke 12:14. That is what many of our prayers are, attempting to make the Lord a judge or a diviner over situations that concern us. I've always been amazed by that. Here the Lord's teaching, and this man interrupts the Lord teaching words of life, their spirit and life, to request, to pray that the Lord will make his brother divide the inheritance with him. That shows where his mind's at, shows where his heart's at. Our prayers show where our mind is, where our heart is. Maybe we should record what we pray so we can listen to it. Oh, wow. And then if he doesn't do what we want, what do? Get mad. So some quit God. There's a girl in our school one time, and her parents were getting divorced, and she prayed that God, please don't let them get a divorce. And they got a divorce, and she was an atheist, claimed she was. She said, "That's why I don't believe in God. He didn't answer my prayer." You know, there was a time that every time I went to pray, the presence of God would come so gloriously. You love those times, don't we? I mean, His presence, sweet presence came. But then He didn't come. The next day, went on for about 2 weeks. I'm very concerned now. Oh, what have I done? What have I done? Finally, He came. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? His presence came. And I said, "Lord, why now?" He said, "I just want you to know I'm not a knob on a radio that you can turn on and off." Praise God. That is what many of our prayers are, attempting to make the Lord a judge or divider over the situations that concern us. For the most part, this is what men have designed church meetings around, meeting men's needs, making men feel better about themselves, about their lives. getting them ready to go out and conquer, more than conquerors. Who's more than conquerors? And what do we conquer? Please look at the whole context of it. Rather than ministering unto the Lord, as we see in Acts 13, they came together to minister unto the Lord. And because they did, the Lord spoke to them. The Lord will not listen to such prayers just as He did not listen to this carnal man's prayer. The Lord rebuked the man in front of them all. Now, verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There's a time to pray, to make requests of the Lord, and then there's a time to speak to situations, to command him to come into alignment with the will of God. And I'll give you Matthew 17, 20, 21, 21, Mark 11, 23, Luke 17, 6. This is not a command to, and if you miss that, you can order the CD. This is not a command to Lazarus out of Jesus' own will. It's not out of Jesus' own will. But instead, it's a command given to him from the Father in heaven. Jesus heard what the Father said, and he repeated it. A command that will accomplish the will of the Father, not some selfish personal desire or opinion. The devil tried to get Jesus, when he was hungry, after the 40 days of fasting, to command stones to be turned into bread. Most of us would have fallen for that. A thing which would have been out of order, out of the will of God's intention for him. Later on, Jesus said stones would cry out with praises unto him if the children did not do so. But all creation is to praise the Son of God. Many verses on that. Jesus answered the devil, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. However, when Jesus was hungry, now, look at this. He was not to turn stones into bread. But when he was hungry later and saw a fig tree that should have had figs on it, but it didn't, he cursed that fig tree for not having figs, which it should have had. For he created it to have bear figs for fruit that men may eat. Some people say, well, that's just really, that was hard. That was wrong of Jesus. Who owned that? Did he own that fig tree? Did he have a right to curse somebody's fig tree? Let me ask you, who created that fig tree? Let me ask you this. When you don't like what he's doing with you, who created you? Praise God. You know what? Have you ever been on a tall building and looked down or on a plane or something? People look like little ants walking around. Look at all those little ants down there. You know what we are? The little ants walking around. Just pray God doesn't step on you. He's going to step on people one of these days. He's going to step on them. He did in Moses, in Noah's day. But in 2 Peter 3, it said, in the last days of come mockers, said, where is the coming of the Lord? Everything remains like it was. Nothing's changed. But he said they're willingly ignorant of his past judgments. But he's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. There's a valuable lesson there. We must produce what God's intended for us, or we'll be cursed and perish. Let me say this. Please don't interpret that as, oh, I gotta pastor church, I gotta be an evangelist, a prophet, I've gotta get in some ministry. That's not what it's saying. What is God's purpose for you and me? For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Forget running after ministries. Go after Christ. And then if he wants to give you a ministry or wants to take a ministry away from you, it's not about that ministry, it's about Christ. Do I have him? Concerning those who fall away from Christ, we read in Hebrews 6:8 what will happen to those who do not bear the fruit of Christ. It says, but those which bear thorns and briars is rejected and is near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Again, it's not because you didn't preach 1,000 times, or you didn't cast out devils, or you didn't, because, what about it? Now, that says, Lord, Lord, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. When we cast out demons, we did all, we prophesied in your name. That's not where it's at. He said, I never knew you. There was never a relationship between you and me. And he calls that iniquity. And what has God intended for those who come to him? And I read that, Romans 8:29. We must be conformed to the image person of Christ or we'll be eternally cursed. When we stand before Him, it's not going to be our works He's going to look at. In Revelation 20, He said, at the great white throne judgment, the books will be opened. That's the record of our life. And the book, which is the book of life, which is Christ. And He said, if our name, meaning our likeness and character, is not in the same as the book Christ, then we'll be bound and cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. God is looking for one thing, and that you and I come into the image of the Son. We lost that image in the Garden of Eden. Man was created in the image of God, but through sin he lost it. We can only come back into that image. The only thing that he accepts is the image of the Son. We can only come back into that image by the work of the Holy Spirit. As we behold him, we're changed to the same image. From revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. How's that going with us? Praise God. Jesus cried out for Lazarus to come forth from the dead because he never said a word unless he heard his heavenly Father say it into his heart. How do we hear what the Father is saying? It's by the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. John 5:30, 8:28, 14:10. Anything we say outside of the true anointing of the Holy Spirit is dead, and it only produces death, but the words that the Holy Spirit gives us to say, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Let me ask you, what is upon us and what are we full of? Are we full of ourselves? Are we full of anger, bitterness, hatred, wrath, self-pity, sinful lust, vengeance, jealousy, fear, unbelief, confusion, chaos? Or can we say we're full of Christ and the Holy Spirit? Joshua commanded the children of Israel when they were going around Jericho. He said, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then shall you shout. Joshua 6:10. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to shout. And such timing can only be known by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to us. You see, God can give you a word for someone or a situation, but you have to have God's timing also. Or you really make amends. And sometimes God will show you things about a person, but you're never to say anything about it. This is for your private information. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to shout. Now this command for Lazarus to come forth from the dead is a prophetic word, which means that Christ heard it from his Father, unlike the seven sons of Sceva that took it upon themselves to command the devil to come out of a man. And you know that didn't end well for those seven men. For that one man attacked those seven men and chased them out of the house. They were naked and bleeding. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, that's Lazarus, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Because Jesus commanded and spoke the very words that the Heavenly Father gave him to speak. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. The dead Lazarus had no choice but to come forth into life. Oh, praise God. I found this. When I really speak the Word of God, when I finish, I'm not beaming with pride, folks. I'm close to tears. I'm being serious with you. I know one thing. We better keep the right attitude if God uses us. Or we're on a slippery slope that's not going to end good. Scripture says no man has anything unless it's given to him by God. Therefore, how can we boast? Jesus said the works that he did we'll do also, even do greater works. John 14:12. But we must hear and be obedient to the voice of God, just as Jesus was. You see how people can take that? I'm going to do the same works and greater works. But you've got to stop and see how he did it. How this worked. And it's all through the book, especially the book of John. I never say anything I don't hear my Father say. I never do anything I do not see him do. Isn't this craziness that people just pull verses out and claim them for themselves? Wow, you know. More than conquerors. What are the conditions for that? There are conditions. I don't know if any of you are old enough, you grew up when they had these little boxes on your kitchen table, the precious promise. You know, you pull out a little card and read it. It's always something good. I never saw some verses in there like mortify your flesh, or we're always delivered unto death for his name's sake that the life of Christ might be. Never saw those in there. Did you ever see them in there? Let's have the whole counsel of God. Right? The full gospel. Not just the ones that make people feel good about themselves, their future, their destiny. I'm going to tell you, destiny. There's one destiny, and that's that we be conformed to the image of the Son. That's all God intends. The rest of it, just because we heard or read what someone else said does not mean that we're to repeat it or that we'll get the same results. We can only do the same works that Jesus did if we meet the same conditions that Jesus met. These seven men, the seven sons of Sceva, had heard what Jesus and Paul had spoken. But the Holy Spirit had not spoken those words into their heart for them to repeat. He did not do that. Rather, they took it upon themselves to speak those words. Praise God. We're to speak the words that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is called being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's therefore called speaking prophetically. This kind of speaking most certainly includes and applies to the words spoken by us in prayer to God. Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you shall, this is Jesus speaking, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward. The scripture says when you pray, not if you pray. Why should we want to pray? Why should we want to? It should be because we love to commune with God, that we love His presence that prayer brings us into. And we believe that He will hear us and grant our requests. Do we love to hear His voice when we pray? Because prayer is a two-way conversation. It ought to be more God speaking than us speaking. I went one time to a revival with another pastor. And every night he'd say his prayers. And about a few nights later I thought, you know what? I can say them for you. He had them memorized. And then in different times, he'd insert new things and take other things out. Please hear what I'm saying. I love the man. The man was good. But are you praying the words that the Holy Spirit gives you to pray? Are you praying what you see, what you think, what your opinion is? Isn't that amazing that we want to tell God what to do, how to do it, when to do, where to do, who to do it to? Like we know more than God knows. Oh, that's just amazing. We make gods out of ourselves. Shut up. Literally. And let the Lord speak through you. It may be in tongues. You know, it may be in groanings, which cannot be uttered. Or He may give you words to say. I'm going to tell you the words He's going to give you to say. If it's from Him, it'll be this. And I'm going to have to skip a lot of this. I'm going to tell you the words that He's going to say. He's going to say, your kingdom come, not our kingdom. People running around trying to build their little kingdoms. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you, do you think your will's being done in heaven? I don't think so. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I have been praying this. Pray for my kids. You know, they were raised right. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying, but they were raised right. But they're about as interested in God, except when they're in trouble. You know, they're just not really interested in God. My grandkids, getting old enough now, you know, to get in trouble. Not bad trouble yet, but I see where it's headed. So what am I going to do? Am I going to say, God, do this for this son, this daughter, this grandchild? Am I going to tell God what He needs to do? Or am I going to pray, Lord, your will be done in their life, not my will? Look at this. Telling God what He needs to do. You know, I know the Lord's just sitting there with pencil and paper, so He can write down what you say. And just almost pass out from the great wisdom that comes out of our mouth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I just got to pray something. Do you really? Pray His will be done. Pray it over everything. Pray it over your job. Pray it over your home. Pray it over yourself. Pray it over your relationship with God. Pray it over your ministry. Pray it over your children, your grandchildren. Pray it over everything. Your will be done. Quit telling Him what He needs to do. Pray His will be done. I don't care how young your children are or how old they are. You know what? Why wouldn't He answer that prayer? Well, maybe you don't want Him to answer that prayer. Maybe you have a different agenda from what God has. Lord, I want this child to be a doctor. I want this child to be a lawyer. I want this child to be a movie star. Maybe that's not at all what He wants. He only hears the prayers that are prayed according to His will. What's the safest thing? Just say, Lord, I trust You enough that if I say Your will be done, it's going to be the best thing that could happen. Your will be done, not my will. Praise God. Will you stand with me? We'll stop there. If you get my emails, you'll read the rest of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Your will be done. What is on your heart this morning? What is troubling you so deeply? Maybe it's your health. What's troubling you so deeply? Are you afraid to pray His will be done? Not my will, but Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven concerning this. Are you afraid or do you believe God? Do you have that confidence in Him? Do you believe that He's... Let me ask you, do you believe He knows more than you know? Praise God. What kind of God are we serving? Did we create the heavens and the earth? Did we speak them into existence? Do we maintain them? Scripture says that Christ maintains this whole universe by His power, by His word. Can't we trust this God? We fear so many things. And out of our fears we pray. Instead of praying, Your will be done. Your will be done. You say, well, didn't Jesus say a specific thing for Lazarus? Only because He heard what the Father said concerning Lazarus. Only because He saw the stone being rolled away. The Father showed that to Him. And so He told Him to do it. When He turned water into wine, He didn't do that out of His own self. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. He saw the Father changing water in pots to wine. And so He spoke what He saw. And they said it's the best wine they ever tasted. Oh, praise God. Are you afraid that if prayers are answered that you won't receive recognition and applause? Are you willing? He said that no flesh should glory in His presence. That's why He chose the weak, the despised, the lowly, the nothings. Don't be trying to make yourself into something. Just hear His voice. Get in a place where He'll talk to you. Like Abraham. Be a man. Study Abraham. Why would God decide to tell Abraham what He's going to do? Look at Abraham's life. A man that obeyed God by faith. Went out going and went where he didn't know where he's going. And then when he got there, it's easy to go, folks. It's exciting. But when he got there by faith, he sojourned in that land, not having a permanent dwelling place. I'm going to tell you, the staying and doing the will of God is much more difficult than running off to it. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you want prayer, if you'll come and stand, praise God. And we'll pray and then we'll pray over the food afterwards. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I trust You're coming for more of Christ. That You be filled more and more with Him. Don't be afraid of the Lord. Don't be afraid of His will. Don't be afraid of Him, praise God. We're not afraid of heaven. Don't be afraid of His will between here and there. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.